Some years ago, I started making notes just as I felt God leading us, or me, going through some tough times. And it's been a blessing to me to go back over a few years now of what I believe God was talking to me about. And some of these I can share, and some of these are peculiar to us and to me. So I'm happy to say that I'm on book number 5, and it's been a blessing. So I encourage everyone to keep a journal of what God's saying to you, because you'll find that years later you look back and remember what He has done. And it's such a blessing for us to do that. So I'm going to share this morning on Charlene's message last Sunday. It blessed me, Charlene. And one of the beauties we have is the recording that's made of these Sunday mornings. And how, if we go back over them, things come out that you perhaps didn't see or hear when you were sitting here on Sunday. So I encourage everyone to do that. Because what came out of Charlene's message out of the book of Habakkuk was quite significant to me. And as I listened to it again, there was a word that started flashing at me like a neon sign. It's a tiny little word. And that word is spelt Y-E-T. Yet. And it consists of three words, three letters. And the scripture she shared, coming out of Habakkuk 3, verse 17, said, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go onto the heights. So Habakkuk complained to God about a terrible time they were going through. And as I pondered over this, some things made sense to me. Verse 17, though the fig tree does not bud, and all the other things that come because of that, this describes what we as farmers have gone through this last year. We have seen the cloudless sky. You've seen the plants turning yellow. We've seen the dust as we've tried to plow. And all it's been is an agricultural shambles. No food, no income, no resources. This line of scripture represents the worst case scenario. Scarcity and lack. Yet, there is that word, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. This is a deliberate decision. We decide to rejoice, to find a faith-driven joy in God, regardless of the surrounding circumstances. The focus shifts from what is lost on earth to what is coming in heaven. That's where our eyes must be. The Sovereign Lord is my strength, is verse 19. The basis of this joy is not temporary, earthly blessing, but the eternal salvation that God has given us. Strength, salvation, strength, and security comes from Him. Some ideas that we might think about here. Joy is a choice. It's a choice. We can choose to be joyful. But it is also a responsibility. God warns us that no matter what the situation is, we should have joy in the Lord. It's a responsibility for us to be pursued. We should hunt after joy in any circumstance. And it's very easy to be joyful when the bank accounts are full and the barns are overflowing. Very, very easy to do that. But it's much more difficult when things are slow. And that is when we have to make a choice. We can choose. We can choose faith over sight. We can choose to be encouraged to trust God when all seems to be falling apart. We can choose to go back to the gospel, the foundation of the gospel, which gives us the type of faith we need, which holds even if the world fails. God's promise and salvation remain. This passage teaches us that even when living in the midst of profound loss, we can still have joy because of the Lord. In the words of that old country and western song, "O Lord, my dog has died, and my car won't start, and those who I love no longer love me. O Lord, how terrible is life." Because the Lord is our strength, we are enabled to walk unbowed by the circumstances. We can rise above everything that comes our way through His power. And often the Lord uses tiny words like "yet" to show us great lessons. It's not what we've lost. It's what's coming. And Lamentations 3, verse 20 to 22 puts it this way. "I well remember my affliction and my wanderings, and the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them. And my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind. And therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for Him." These words were written by the prophet Jeremiah at one of the lowest points of his life. Jerusalem had been conquered in 586 BC. The Babylonians completely destroyed the city, including the temple. And Jeremiah wrote these words, expressing the pain and confusion that followed this. His city and the temple of God and the total way of life had been destroyed. The word "yet" is God's, in God's language, is one of His most powerful weapons. And as we have this last week or so been exposed to things like missiles and explosions and bunker-busting bombs, the word "yet" is God's spiritual intergalactical missile. Not international, intergalactical missile, showing us His greatness. We read in 2 Kings 3 how the Lord had called Jehoshaphat to fight against the Moabites. It was an instruction from God to His people to go and annihilate the Moabites. Very often when God calls us to action for Him, the way is difficult. And to accomplish what He has asked, very often we cannot finish the job because something impossible comes up against us. In this case, what happened? 2 Kings 3:9 says, "So the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. After a roundabout march of 7 days, understand that they'd be marching for 7 days. The army had no more water. So they had no water for themselves or for their horses or cattle and all the other animals. God had called them to punish the Moabites, but on the way they encountered something impossible. Something beyond their control. Something which meant that they were unable to accomplish what the Lord had instructed them to do. How often does this happen to us? How often do we find something preventing us from completing what God has asked us to do? How often does the impossible rise up? And so it was here. For three armies of many thousands of men, they'd run out of water and they were in a desert. It didn't help that the route they were taking on their 7 day march was through the desert of Edom. So for 7 days of marching, they'd reached the end. What were they to do? In this case, they did the right thing. They consulted the Lord through the prophet Elisha. What happened? The Lord laid bare his holy arm and gave them a glimpse of his power. Just a little look at the power that he has. Verse 15 says, whilst the harmonist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha and he said, this is what the Lord says. Make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain. Yet, there it is again, the yet of God's word. Yet, this valley will be filled with water, and you, your cattle, and your other animals will drink. The yet of God's word is the most incredible thing. Praise God. Thousands of men and animals received water. What is more, the Lord continued by saying, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. Remember this, guys. It's easy. It's easy. God created water where there was none. And he found it easy. The next morning, about the time for offering, that's verse 20, there it was. Water flowing from the direction of Edom. And the land was filled with water. Very often God's great miracles are triggered by the word yet. When we go back to the father of our faith, to Abraham, we find one of the greatest yets in the Bible. Against all hope, Romans 4:18 says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. If you remember the story, he walked outside one night and God showed him the stars in the sky. And he said, this is how your offspring will be. This is the promise of God was given to him in Genesis. But the problem was, Abraham was about 100 years old. And Sarah was way beyond childbearing age. Her womb was dead. Romans 4:19, listen to this. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. He was honest about it. Since he was about 100 years old and that Sarah's womb was dead, then what happened? The immense, unimaginable, miracle working power of God was triggered by that tiny word that we've been studying. Romans 4:20-25. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Wow, praise the everlasting God of Abraham. From him came what we are today. So as we think deeply about these passages of Scripture, we clearly see that God uses small words to show up his mighty power. And the word yet as tiny as it is God's bunker-busting bomb aimed at destroying all unbelief. We all gathered here today because of the greatest power of God's yet. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The King James Bible says it this way: while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is the greatest thing that God has done for us. And this is explained in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The unsurpassing power of God lives in us, and this is the result of the cross. Jesus gave himself for us, and he gave us his Spirit. What an indescribable gift, an undeserved blessing. The power that we have access to in the midst of our weaknesses, in the midst of the impossible situations that we've just read about, is not our own, but it is from Jesus. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. All the glory evermore to him. When the race is complete, so my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Father God, we just bless you, Lord. We will never know what it cost to carry our sins onto the cross. But what we do know, Lord, is that you gave us your best. You gave us Jesus. You gave us your Son. That whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, shall not die, but have eternal life. Father, thank you for your gift. We thank you now, Lord, and we will thank you forever. 1 million years times 1 million from now, we'll still be thanking you, Lord. And we'll do it forever. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name.